Hi everyone, this is Ryan Ringnall, one of the pastors for the Church of Wells again, and now I'm by myself. I had made one recording with Corey James McLaughlin, answering basically the initial communication and meeting and time that we spent with the Groves. I had another recording that is up on the website that I made with my wife, generally detailing the meeting of Catherine, communication that we had going forth in email, and how she got a bus ticket from up there in Arkansas and came down here, and generally just trying to detail our blamelessness in that situation, because really there was blamelessness and there was innocence, and we weren't looking for trouble. The Lord knows that. And now in this recording, I would like to communicate to you all that are willing to hear our side of this story that is being blown up, and it's going before the news of East Texas. And I know that there's people in Arkansas that are hearing these things, and I don't know, perhaps other people around the country, but I want to share with y'all what is the real issue. What is the real issue? Why is there a division? Why are these fires blowing up? Why are the Groves saying all these manner of tale-bearing and evil communications and slanderous things against us and vilifying our characters? Why is that happening? And I do believe that the real issue is this: what is biblical conversion? And I want to express to y'all not only what is biblical conversion, but why is it relevant? And I want to share with you all that would listen. And I would that the pastors would listen. I would that the ministers would listen. Their minister, a man named Mike Lumpkin, has said some things, very unkind things and untrue things, on a blog post against us. And Mr. Lumpkin, I would that it wasn't so. I'd love to have a meeting with you. I'd like to talk with you about biblical conversion, as I tried to talk to the Groves about it and go over scripture and go over church history. And so that's the first point that I'd like to make. And we are willing to meet with you, Mr. Lumpkin. And I'm talking to another pastor up there in Arkansas and trying to speak to him and follow peace with him and treat him as a pastor and as a brother. And I believe and hope that he has been reasonable with me. I'm so thankful that he has had the kindness to be able to talk to us and hear our side and not just hear the things the Groves are saying. That is commendable. The scripture says, "He that answers the matter before he heareth it is a folly and a shame unto him." Proverbs 18:13. In Proverbs, in another place, I believe 11 verse 12, it says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth peace." So what is biblical conversion, and how is that relevant to this situation? Because I believe that is the real issue here, that we have a disagreement with the Groves on this, on what the scripture teaches in this. Though we both profess to be Christian, and we both would profess that the Bible is your final authority on all matters of faith and practice, and we would both profess that we're trying not to be hypocrites, and we're trying to honor what the scripture says. And so I'm going to try to share with y'all my take and my understanding of why this thing is being blown out of proportion, and why there's a division between the Groves and us. And then secondly, I'd like to share, just for the sake of truth to prevail and for the sake of integrity and for the sake of the name of the Lord that I love and I'm just trying to honor and follow with all of my heart, our behavior toward the Groves versus their behavior toward us. And I know that it's been said on the media, especially on the CBS 19 report, or at least it implied that our behavior has not been kind to us, and that we have not treated them well. And the things that Ms. Grove has said, I have something here that she has said on Facebook that implies that we are villains, that we are criminals, that we are crooks, that we are evil, unrighteous, unkind, unbecoming, unseemly people. And by the grace of God, the Lord has made us not to be so, and we haven't treated them so. And it's not right. It's not based on fact and truth and our behavior that she's saying that. So that's the second point that I want to make. And thirdly, I'd like to share with y'all what I believe right now is the Groves' real intent, and just ask all that are reasonable and ask all that want peace. I want peace in this situation, not at the expense of my conscience, not at the expense of biblical truth, not at the expense of the Constitution and the laws of this land and the Bill of Rights. I don't want truth at that expense, but I do want truth, and I want peace as much as we can have it without denying our inalienable rights as American citizens, without denying the written word of God, which all of us are professing to be Christians. The Groves profess to be Christians. They are, as I understand, missionaries, and they're supported and have been supported for, I don't know, 20 years by churches, 20, 30 years, I don't know how long, generally throughout that time supported. And they share what their version and term and way of the gospel with other people. And So I'd like, again, first to start with this. What is biblical conversion and why is it relevant? It is relevant in this situation because from the very beginning, the Groves have disagreed with us and have disagreed with Catherine, their daughter, as to the state of her soul. This is the rift. Catherine Grove, after she had taken a bus down here, she bought herself up there around Fayetteville, and she came down to Lufkin, and my wife and another lady from the church went and picked her up, and she came to visit us. It wasn't even to join the church, which was said in the media, to visit us. And she came, after that, she heard some testimony. She heard through scripture some of the ladies, that the elders didn't even talk to her. I'm one of the pastors, didn't even talk to her, but for about 20 seconds, just saying hi and bye, and just saying we're thankful to have you here, and we care for your soul, and we not that we just care for her soul, we care for her well-being too, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. We desire just good. We desire truth. We desire mercy to her and to everybody else that's listening here today. But she came down and she saw in scripture that she was in trouble with the Lord. She saw that in the first week she was greatly doubting that she had been born again, that she had been saved according to the written word of God, because the Bible teaches that you'll know a tree by its fruits, and the fruits in her life were not good. And I'm not going to expound upon all the sins that she was overtaken in, but she has a list of many sins, even great sins, even certain sins that not all American conservative professing Christians or right-wing American moral citizens would struggle with. She's had struggles with sins that are great and that are true struggles, and it's sinful, and she has admitted this and been vulnerable with this, and has tried to tell her parents, has tried to tell Mr. and Miss Grove, Andy and Patty Grove, and they refuse to believe her. They refuse to acknowledge that she could be lost and that she is lost according to the written word of God, which they claim is their final standard on all matters of faith and practice. The scripture does teach that if you're overtaken in fornication consistently, is the generality of your life, or adultery, or lying, or railing and slandering and having no conscience, or being callous and doing those things, or being a bully, or just these kind of things. If you're doing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's many such lists in Galatians 5 and Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians 6 that says these things, and it's just a good way to be able to check up on yourself if you're right with the Lord. If you're a generally, completely, utterly vain person, and the tenor of your life is just loving the world and talking about the world and looking like the world, the scripture says the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride, they're not of the Father, they're of the world. And that's what we believe. And that's been the general Orthodox Christian belief for throughout the last 2,000 years in Orthodox fundamental Bible-believing circles of Christianity, starting in the New Testament and the apostolic times, going through the 300 years of persecution in Christianity, all the way through the Dark Ages, where there were pockets of true Christians, there were pockets of those that believed the Bible in those days, all the way to the Reformation, all the way through to the 1800s with Spurgeon and Hudson Taylor and George Mueller and Mighty Men of God, and the 1700s of David Brainerd and Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley and Charles Wesley, and the 1600s of John Bunyan and John Owens, and the Puritans and the Scottish Covenanters, and the 1500s of John Knox and of George Wishart, and of many such like godly, blessed, faithful men that held to the written word of God, sola scriptura, and they fought for Christ and what their convictions were in the word of God to be faithfully propagated and faithfully preached in the churches. And today, though, the generality of many Christians in America, it's not so. And what I have to say here is it's not so with the Groves. The Groves came down and met with me after the first meeting, which I detailed with Corey James McLaughlin, that we had when they had come. And though they came very heated and very passionate, very fiery, and Miss Grove was interrupting her husband, interrupting myself, and interrupting Corey many times, and she was demanding to see Catherine, even against her will, whether she wanted to see her or not. And Catherine had already left her a message and had already tried to tell the Groves, had already talked to them on the phone, that she was lost and they wouldn't believe it, and that thus she did not want to see them at the time. She wanted to just be saved and seek the Lord for salvation, but they were demanding. And so we counseled Catherine. We believed that she should see her parents at that time. And we saw her before my eyes. Miss Grove was trying to tell her, Catherine, you're saved. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? That's a direct quote before three different witnesses other than Miss Grove, that she had said that or four, I'm sorry, including Catherine was there as well. Mr. Grove was there. I was there. Corey James McLaughlin was there. She was sharing about how she's a deceiver, how she's been lying to herself, to others, to her parents, about who she is, and that she's really a sinner, and that she really has loved sin and loved the world, and she's never been regenerate. She's never had a new heart where she loves what she hated and hates what she loved, and she loves the Word of God, and she loves prayer, and she's not ashamed to suffer reproach for the name of Christ. And she was trying to tell her, you're saved because you believed. You believe in your mind that Jesus Christ is your Lord. We don't believe that. I believe that since I was 4 years old. A multitude of professing Christians in this country believe that, and they're not living holy lives, and they don't look like Christ. That's not biblical salvation. It says in James 2:19, the devils believe God and tremble, but they're not saved. And I'm saying this because this is the issue generally at hand to all those that really want to know and are really concerned for Catherine's welfare and are concerned about what's happening at the Church of Wells. I'm one of the pastors, and it's concerned with why the Groves are saying all these things, and what is all these fires, and what is all this noise and media and reporters and just all these things. That is the issue. What is salvation? Their pastor, Mike Lumpkin, from Fayetteville, I believe, UBC Baptist Church up in Fayetteville, had sent them down with a Jonathan Edwards book. Jonathan Edwards was a preacher in the Great Awakening in the 1740s. He saw revival in 1734 and 35. He saw revival again in the 1740s. He was good friends with and loved Mr. George Whitefield. And he knew of John Wesley and other mighty men at that time that were used to turn this country upside down to help prepare for the founding of this nation in 1776 and for the Constitution and for the Bill of Rights and for all the freedoms that we have. Many of those things are based upon biblical structure for government, which was so knowledged and known and spread abroad at that time because of the Great Awakening, of so many people being saved. And this, there's a sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached that's called The Marks of a Work of the Spirit of God in the Great Awakening, to justify it, because many pastors and many people speak against it and accuse the ones that were being used for the Great Awakening, like George Whitefield and like Jonathan Edwards and like George Tenet, I believe was his name, and John Wesley and Charles Wesley, and the list goes on, of being false prophets, of not being a true work of the Spirit of God. And to justify that, Jonathan Edwards wrote this sermon. This is what he says was the marks. He says, "The Spirit that is at work takes off persons' minds from the vanities of the world and engages them in a deep concern about their eternal happiness and puts them upon earnestly seeking their salvation and convinces them of the dreadfulness of sin and of their own guilty and miserable state as they are by nature. It awakens men's consciences and makes them sensible of the dreadfulness of God's anger and causes in them a great desire and earnest care and endeavor to obtain His favor. It puts them upon a more diligent improvement of the means of grace which God has appointed, accompanied with a greater regard for the Word of God, a desire of hearing and reading it, and of being more conversant with it than they used to be. And it is notoriously manifest that the Spirit that is at work, in general, operates as a spirit of truth, making persons more sensible of what is really true in those things that concern their eternal salvation, as that they must die, and that life is very short and uncertain, that there is a great sin-hating God to whom they are accountable, and who will fix them in an eternal state in another world, and that they stand in great need of a Savior. It makes persons," that is the Spirit of the Lord, which was working in that day, which was being spoken against, Jonathan Edwards says, the fruit of it makes persons more sensible of the value of Jesus, who was crucified, and their need of Him, and that it puts them upon earnestly seeking an interest in Him." And that is a statement from a book that Mike Lumpkin had given to Andy and Patty Grove to send down with us. And I had studied just about everything very extensively that he sent down with them. And I was showing them this, and I was having a meeting. I met with them when they came back down the second time. For all of you that are wondering if we followed peace, I treated them as Christians. And I met with them for over 30 hours. My wife was almost consistently a witness. There were other witnesses almost every time. Corey McLaughlin was a witness for around 6 hours of that time. And there were other brethren. There were a couple of the ladies who were there for one of the 11-hour meetings. Miss Booker was there, the former mayor's wife in the town that we live. And Miss Heidi Keys was there as well. And Jake has been there with them at times as well. And we met for around 30 hours. Mr. Grove has said that number. And I don't know, it was many hours, a long time. And we talked about particularly this issue of biblical conversion And as we would go over these fruits that Jonathan Edwards just said, Catherine Grobe would admit before her parents, before us, she believes that the same fruits that Jonathan Edwards are saying are a true mark of the work of the Spirit of God were happening in her, are happening in her, that she's seeing her need for the Savior and being here and hearing the Word of God preached rightly and in trying to seek God for salvation. She's seeing the dreadfulness of sin. She's seeing that she's going to be accountable to a sin-hating God. Not that God is not a God of love, but He's a sin-hating God. He's not a teddy bear. He's not a Santa Claus. He's not having you to love and have your cake and eat it too, and you can love your sin, you can put God in a box and do your own thing, and He truly is a jealous God. But He's a loving God. He is, and He's a just God, and He's a holy God. And Jonathan Edwards says, this Spirit makes people love the Word of God. She's studying the Word, and she was admitting, she said all these things before her parents. All these things are the fruit in her life. And every time that we met, for 30 hours or so, give or take, Miss Grove would try to convince Catherine that she is already saved. In many different words, at one point we had met, and my wife was there as a witness, and Catherine was there as well. And the girls were there. They had tried to sneak up on Catherine where she was, and against her will, to see her by herself, against her will. And Catherine came over to where I was with my wife, just saying, I don't want to talk to my parents alone at this time. And what am I to do? It's because she is concerned that her mother is going to try to convince her against the Scriptures, against the written Word of God, that she is saved when she is indeed, according to her own admission, a sinner and in sin. Again, this is the issue. This is the main rift. And I remember at one point, Miss Grove was pleading with Catherine about why she shouldn't listen to us. But really, I just want to know what the Bible says. We're trying to quote what the Scripture says and what biblical Orthodox Church history says concerning conversion, as long as it meets up with the written Word of God. And we're open to talk to anybody about these things. Their own pastor had sent down what I just wrote, the excerpt, but we're just trying to hold to these things. And Miss Grove was saying to Catherine, you can't listen to these people. Miss Booker, which is someone that has been converted, she's from Wells in our church. Miss Booker used to gamble. And you're right, she's right. Miss Booker used to gamble. She's been born again. She's been saved. She doesn't gamble anymore. She doesn't want to gamble. She just wants to follow the Lord with all of her heart, study the Word and pray and preach the Word to people. And even when they mock her, she just loves them and desires their good. And she wants to just do right and honor her husband and be a servant to her husband as unto the Lord, and etc. And be beautiful with a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And not to be rambunctious, and not to be always interrupting her husband and usurping authority and being unkind and rude and loving herself more than Christ, etc., and these things. And then she said, well, Ryan struggled with sexual immorality and even pornography. And friends, before I was saved, I did. I did struggle at times with sexual immorality. And I looked at things that I ought not. And I hardly know an American man in this country that has not struggled with those things. But I've been born again, and I, by the grace of God, don't struggle with those things anymore for many, many years. And I have a blessed marriage with a dear wife who was consistently with me and meek and of a quiet spirit, but she was ready and able to speak and to help me in our meetings with the Groves. But at the same time, this in contradistinction, Miss Grove, every meeting that we had for 30 hours would interrupt her own husband, would interrupt us, would try to teach doctrine, would try to tell Catherine, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Lord, therefore you're saved. And that's just not true. You can believe that in your mind. But the Scripture says in Romans 10 that thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And the heart is a place where you can't touch. And the heart is a place that is deceitful above all things and desperate for the wicked. Who can know it? The only way that you can believe in your heart is a gift of God. God has to change the heart for you to believe. And the evidence is that there will be a new life. That you will be transformed. Miss Grove does not believe in the doctrine of the new birth. Through many meetings, through many things that she said, and I'm sharing some things now, through the fruit of how she has received Catherine's testimony from the beginning, the whole situation of why Catherine was concerned about meeting with her mom and her dad and seeing them alone. She didn't want to. She was afraid that they are dead set to do what they've been doing, for she claims many years tell her that she's saved when the Lord is telling her that she's not, according to the written word of God, according to men of God in history. She's read quotes of Charles Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards and John Bunyan and Charles Wesley and John Wesley. She had an evidence Bible. It's Ray Comfort and Way of the Master. It was a Bible that they made, and she would read many of those commentaries, and she was concerned through what they were saying that she was not saved. Moreover, she's seen a sermon from somebody that we know, but it's not even with us, a part of our church, that she read years ago, that she was not saved. And she was concerned. And yes, many of the things that she's seen on her website, not just our sermons, we have Ralph Barnard's sermons, we have Leonard Ravenhill's sermons, we have Jonathan Edwards' sermons, and many such like things on the website, and we're trying to expound upon that, but we just are looking for men that are preaching a salvation, a gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe it. Salvation from what? From sin. Salvation from rebellion to God. Salvation from denying His Word, hating His Word, from being a practical atheist. And we love atheists. I love you if you're an atheist listening. But we believe atheists need to be born again. And that if God saves a man and takes out the heart of stone and puts in a new heart, they'll love what they never loved before. They'll really love fellowship with the Lord and praying to the Lord and studying the Word of God. There'll be a purity. There'll be an integrity that defies circumstance. You're not just going to be honest just because it's going to help you make a good business deal. You're going to be honest because you're walking before the Lord and He's relevant and He's real and He's true and He's on the throne and He's alive and He died for your sins. And you know Him. So generally that has been the main issue at hand. I have been consistently in these meetings hearing from Miss Grove, not so much from Mr. Grove. He is not teaching the doctrine in his family. He is not having the headship of his family. Generally, it was Miss Grove that was trying to convince Catherine that she was saved. And Catherine is just concerned, was afraid to listen to what she was saying because Catherine wants to be born again. And she's consistently saying, "You're fine. You're okay." She'll try to confide in them. I've seen her multiple times confessing many sins and things that she is struggling with, that beret that express and manifest her heart is not right with God. And they will not believe her. They will not take her at her word. And I know that it has frustrated Catherine and perhaps even at times unrighteously she's been frustrated. That's the first issue. The second issue.